Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, the title of our message, The Battle is Raging. The battle is raging. In a moment, as we read to you from our opening text, we will find that our spiritual enemy is in attack mode. Can I tell you right here and now that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth? Can I tell you right now that his demons are active and they may even be here in this room right now? Because Satan's desire is to create disturbance, division, and he wants to do it within the body of the believers. We have read to you on many occasions from a Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, this thought. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with them, which deceiveth the whole world. And can I tell you this, that he has deceived many within the house of God, that he has created much in the way of turmoil. Sabin Baring Gould wrote this popular hymn of the faith, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." William F. Sherwin wrote this song of the faith, "Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng." Another song by Mrs. C.H. Morris, the chorus, "The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner over us, we will sing the victor's song at last." And then one more song, G. Duffield wrote, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Verse 2, stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. And let me read to you the third verse. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. In other words, make sure that we are ready for the battle. Would you please stand with me as I read to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning asking that you would bind the evil that may be with us this day. Lord, give us strength. Give us a desire to serve you faithfully. Lord, we do not know how long we have, but during that time, may we serve you with honor. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue reading in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How will our enemy deceive us? How will our enemy destroy? I have seven thoughts as to how he will do this. Point number one, by seeking an advantage against us. If you would, 2 Corinthians 2:11, and I do hope that you will be willing to look at the scripture references that we're asking you to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11, he wants to find your soft spot. He's looking for that weak place in your armor. Verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Folks, can I warn you? Satan desires to bring you down. And I don't say that with any pleasure. I say that to warn you. So how will he get an advantage? I have three thoughts. Number one, if we are not willing to forgive. If we are not willing to forgive, Satan will use that against us over and over and over again, taking our eyes off the Lord. Number two, when we hold grudges. Folks, when we hold a grudge, we become smaller than the grudge because we hide behind it and we declare that we are right in our anguish, our jealousy, our anger when we hold grudges. And then number three, when we take our eyes off the Lord, we are encouraged in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. But if we take our eyes off the Lord like Peter did when he was walking on the water, we will go down by seeking an advantage against us. Can I tell you this? As I was walking through the food line Thursday, and I appreciate the Wutkies going over and getting things ready with the Cranks. That's an interesting name when you're going to have something to eat. You're going to let the Cranks do it. But as I was walking through the line, I was glad there were certain foods not there. Because, you know, I don't want you to be tempted to do wrong. Now, I don't have to tell you which foods, right? You can tell me. But aren't you glad the Brussels sprouts had been left somewhere else? No? See, here we have a problem. But there we can just kind of laugh at this. But folks, there are things that are happening in so-called Christianity today that are not right. There are things that are happening within our churches today that would make Jesus Christ weep if he was here walking on earth. And they may make him weep in heaven. See, we are seeing today Satan get into our churches and destroy them, where they are no longer a testimony for the cause of Christ. Number two, by tempting us. Luke chapter 4, if you would, please. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we'll read verse 13. Normally, we read about the temptation of Christ from the book of Matthew chapter 4. But it is verse 13 that we are wanting to use. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, that he's been tempting Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? The devil was not afraid to tempt our Lord to do wrong. And he certainly is not afraid to tempt you. Does he know what to tempt you with? He does. Because he's brought the different temptations before you. And you flinched. And he said, oh, that's the one. That's the one. But notice the last phrase of verse 13. He departed from him, what? For a season. What does that mean? That means he came back, didn't he? That meant that he came back against Jesus over and over again. And how about you? The book of James tells us that we are to resist the devil and he will what? He will flee, but does that mean he won't come back? Oh, he's going to come back. He will come back. Guarantee it. In fact, he could be right now tempting you to do wrong right now. And some of you are having right now to put up your guard. He's not afraid of you unless we are standing by the Lord. Number three. By blinding us to what is true and just. Take your Bible to the well-familiar portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verses 3 and 4. He is blinding us to what is true and just. Folks, he's doing that in the United States of America today. He's making us believe that sin no longer is sin, that it's just an alternative lifestyle. He is making us believe that it's all right to live with one another before marriage. He's making us believe that it's all right to do all these different things that are being declared as, well, today's world. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, is your gospel hid? It is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, notice that small g, in whom the God of this world, who is the God of this world, small g? Satan. Whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me give you an example where people are blinded. The United Nations repeatedly chides the country of Israel because they have defended themselves against attack. Now let me ask you this. Don't you think the United States would have the right to defend itself against attack? Don't you think Israel should have the right to defend itself against attacks? And yet, over and over again, the United Nations says, Israel, you are wrong because you have killed harmless people. Well, one of the problems is those people attacking Israel hide in schools. They hide in places where public, in the public places. And so they have been blinded as to what is right and what is wrong. By blinding us to what is true. So what is one of the things that is true that we have been blinded to, that we need to gather together as fellow believers? And how many people today say, well, we don't have to. One of the men that brought flowers to the church, I asked him, I said, where do you go to church? He goes, well, most Sunday mornings you'll find me in my shower. And then he says, I have other things to do on Sunday. You know, there are people, they joke about not going to church. One of the greatest problems in America today is that we are no longer a country of faith. We are now just a country that is enjoying life. It is my opinion that God is going to bring judgment against America someday soon. That God is going to say, I have blessed you beyond measure. I have made you one of the greatest nations in the world's history. And look what you've done. You've made my day a day of sporting events and shopping. You've made my day a day of entertainment. And you've forgotten to come into worship. You've aborted thousands and millions of unprotected children. And you have lied in your schools about how we have come to be here. Judgment is coming. He has blinded us, though, to what is needed. And number four, by removing God's word. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 8? We know this as the parable of the sower. And we find in verse 12 these words. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Can I tell you how important it is on a Sunday morning if we have new people that we behave ourselves right and properly in the house of God? That no one can say, well, I was watching them because they seemed to be having a nice conversation with their neighbor, or they were busy on their cell phone, or they were sleeping, or they didn't seem interested. And we need to make sure that we don't give an excuse to the lost person as to why they didn't accept the Lord. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Can I ask you a question? Where would Satan want to make sure he took the word from? Churches. Where churches would get up and have someone proclaim a lot of, you're good, I'm good, and we're all fine. How many churches today declare that people need to repent? How many churches today declare the fact that hell is real and heaven is where we want to go? He has removed God's word. If you watch the oldest versions of A Christmas Carol, you'll find Christian songs, you'll find verses of the Bible read. What about the newer versions? They don't have anything usually in the way of Christian Christmas songs or the Word of God. They have removed it. Now, we that know the story, we know what's going on. But the fact is that Satan has done a very good job of getting the Word of God out of things by choking us with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Sometimes I have thoughts up here at the pulpit. Should I say that? If I say that, what will they think? So I'll give you a vote. I have something I want to say, but I don't want to offend anybody. You think I ought to say it? Are you sure? We have church tonight at 6 o'clock. Yet how many of us won't come because of the cares and riches and pleasures of this world? As a Baptist preacher, having grown up in the home of a Baptist preacher, church was never an option. I never asked my dad, are we going to church tonight? I imagine, Pastor Stephen, you never asked your dad that. The fact of the matter is this. The removing of God's word from our lives has hurt us. Number five. Did I tell you how many I had? Seven. Number five, by filling our heart with false teachings. John 13, if you would, please. John 13 and verse 2. By filling our heart with false teaching. Jesus will be in a few hours arrested. He will be put through trial after trial. He will be beaten and scourged. He will be stripped naked, put on a cross, and hung for all the world to see. And we notice in verse 2 of chapter 13, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Where is Jesus at this very moment? At this very moment. Not right now, but in right where we're reading. Where is Jesus? He's right there. Right? Right there. Jesus is right there and Judas is right there. And right there, when Judas is sitting near Jesus, Satan is able to go into his heart. What does that tell you? That tells me, it should tell you that even when you sit in the house of God, if you're not careful, Satan will creep in and convince us that we don't have to do what the pastor's talking about. We don't have to read the Word of God daily. We don't need to be part and parcel of the church. He'll lie to us even when we are someplace where we think we are safe. In the book of Acts chapter 5, we find two people that bring money and say, we have sold our property and we are giving it to you in the name of the Lord. And yet Satan had convinced them to lie, as Peter said to the Holy Spirit. Folks, we got to be careful. We must be careful. Number six, by taking us captive, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, some of us have been part of the Covenant Baptist Church for most of its 65 years. And during those years, we have seen people come and be part of the church and be active and then slowly drift away. And it's not like they're going to another church down the road or in another city. They have simply stopped coming to church. They have become captive in not serving the Lord any longer. Notice what it says in chapter 3, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ladies, gentlemen, we need to be on guard, because even right now, Satan desires to take you and to bind you, as he did Samson, by taking us captive. What is that sin? Don't say it out loud, but what is that sin that right now has you handcuffed, that would keep you from serving the Lord as faithfully as you should? And number seven, by getting us to yield. Romans chapter 6, if you would, please. Romans 6. In verse 16, getting us to yield. The other day, I was driving down Canal Road, coming to the church, And on Delco, do you know where Delco is down here where the light is? There was a dump truck pulling a trailer with a backhoe on it. You know what I mean by a backhoe? You know, it was a tractor, and on the back was a backhoe. The light is green for one Paul Madonna driving down Canal Road. And the driver in the pickup, in the dump truck, looked at me and just went right out ahead. Now, let me ask you this. I'm doing 40 on Canal Road because you can do 40 on that part of Canal Road. How fast would it take a dump truck pulling a trailer with a backhoe to get up to, because on this side of Delco, it's 35 miles an hour. How long does it take? Do you know he didn't reach 35 miles an hour until he passed the church? What didn't he do? He didn't yield to the law. The law said, stop. The light is red. This is what you need to do. What did he say? He said, I didn't want to stop. I want to have my own way. Notice verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Is there something in your life in which you have given yourself? Yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's why in verse 23 it says, for the wages of sin is death. Because we are either going to give ourselves over to the Lord or we're going to let Satan come in and take control. 1 Timothy 5:15 says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. They've turned back. Folks, we are in a battle. It is raging right now, even in this room. That's why we're to take on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in a wicked day and a wicked time. Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation this morning is 401. And I know sometimes when I preach a sermon that is more on the difficult side, there are those who are afraid to come because they're worried that someone's going to say, well, I wonder what they've done wrong. Well, probably something that you've already done too. And the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't be concerned about what someone else is thinking, but only what the Lord is desiring. We should desire to only trust Him, to follow Him. 401 is our song of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that in this day of battle that You would give us strength, not to put off our armor and to turn around and go back to the old way, but that we are willing to go forward. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.